This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. New analysis shows the Illinois governor's budget office expects fewer revenue dollars for the next fiscal year. The governor's Office of Management and Budget is now projecting less than $55 billion in revenue. That's about $500 million less than originally forecast. Republican State Representative Joe Sosnowski of Rockford says he's concerned the big decrease in revenue could lead to higher taxes to make up the difference.
We saw kind of this decrease in revenue expected coming for a while. And so, we expect, obviously, our budget's going to have to reflect that. And we're going to have to look at ways to trim back and live within our means.
Deputy Governor for Budget and Economy Andy Menar blames the revenue decrease on economic uncertainty and anxiety fueled by the Trump administration. A new HIV center in the Edgewater neighborhood on Chicago's north side hopes to become a resource for thousands of people living with HIV in Chicago. My colleague Araceli Gomez-Aldana reports Vivint Health and Test Positive Awareness Network, TPAN, are partnering with Northwestern Medicine to tackle health disparities in HIV care. Vivint Care CEO Brandon Hill says the key is integrated services like behavioral health, a pharmacy, and a food pantry.
We have about a third of the 19,000 people living with HIV who are not engaged in care at all in our city. That's why some of the services that Vivint Health TPAN provides are so critical.
Like state health officials, Hill says they want to end Illinois' HIV epidemic by 2030. But to do that, they're going to need to get people in treatment and reach viral suppression. The city of Chicago has been selected to host next year's UNESCO International Jazz Day. The event in April is the world's largest celebration of jazz. The city announcing today the event will highlight Chicago's contributions to jazz, blues, and global music. International Jazz Day has been held before in places like Paris and Havana and Sydney. The Chicago stop aligns with the 100th anniversary of the birth of legendary jazz musician Miles Davis. He was born and raised here in Illinois. Tens of thousands of Chicago area residents rely on federal rental assistance through the Housing Choice Voucher Program. That's also known as Section 8. It helps them pay for rent in the private market. But multiple complaints and lawsuits in recent months charge landlords with discrimination against this program, despite local and state laws to prevent that. Our data intern, Ashley Soriano, sat down with our Claire Lane to share more.
So, Ashley, let's just get right into it. Local and state laws are supposed to stop discrimination during this process, but your reporting found that's not happening. I guess tell us a little bit about what you found.
Well, in 2023, a source of income became a protected class on a statewide level, meaning a source of income, a landlord cannot reject a tenant simply because of how they're paying, if they're paying with a housing voucher, for example. And we filed some open records requests with the Illinois Department of Human Rights to really get an understanding a little bit more. And the Housing Rights Initiative, that's a watchdog organization, they filed 176 complaints to the IDA. HR in January. They claim that it is the largest state complaint filing in history when it comes to housing discrimination. They sent testers out posing as prospective renters. One presented themselves as holding a voucher to a landlord, and another did not disclose how they plan to pay. So both of these testers individually texted a landlord or a property management company inquiring about a property. One said that they planned to pay with a voucher. And in response to that, landlords on multiple occasions said, sorry, we don't take Section 8 vouchers. Whereas the other tester who did not disclose how they planned to pay were offered to see the property. Their questions were answered. And so we were seeing that. And there are multiple lawsuits as well filed against some of these property companies in April, in December. And we also spoke with some tenants as well.
So it sounds like property management companies are getting around these laws. How are they doing that?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Some advocacy organizations are saying it stems from conscious bias as to not wanting to rent to somebody who is holding a voucher. So they might take other strategic tactics like a high credit score requirement to press an applicant out. That's what we heard from some of these advocates. But tenants more so, they're so worried about finding housing that they don't have the time or the desire to really push the issue if they're rejected. If a housing provider just says, no, sorry, we're not accepting vouchers. In many cases, these people just move on. I spoke to some tenants, one longtime voucher holder who said just that. They're lucky to just find one who will accept.
Why do experts say this is happening?
So we spoke with a state representative, LaShawn Ford, who sponsored state legislation a couple years ago to protect against source of income discrimination. And he said it's twofold. There's a history of segregation and racial discrimination in the city of Chicago. And he said that source of income discrimination is, quote, a targeted opportunity for discrimination, meaning there is a link tied to race. So in our findings at WBEZ, we collected data and found that a majority of Chicago renters paying with vouchers are Black. And so there is a conscious racial bias component that we've heard. But at the same time, you know, some Representative Ford said landlords' lack of knowledge of the law is a factor as well. So some of these landlords may just not know that, you know, it's illegal to reject someone based off how they're paying.
And just quickly talking about accountability, is the city or the state doing anything about this?
Yeah, well, it's up to the state agencies to enforce this on a statewide level. The Illinois Department of Human Rights can impose pretty hefty fines after an investigation if they find that there was housing discrimination. You know, as we said, existing state law does protect this. There's a city ordinance in Chicago that protects source of income. But, you know, housing authorities also, they offer classes to landlords, but it's not required for the landlord or the housing provider. So there is a bit of an education component for some of these landlords to understand that they can't reject someone simply because they're paying with a voucher.
That's WBEZ data intern Ashley Soriano. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Weather forecast. It's a warm day in town. Partly sunny skies. Still foggy at the lakefront. A high of 80 in the suburbs, but closer to 70 downtown. And then tonight, isolated showers and thunderstorms and some patchy fog. A low in the upper 50s. And then Thursday, it's going to get hot. A high near 90 and a few showers popping up in the morning and late in the afternoon. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.